first, isn't it?
No. Oh, we had a good meeting down there. We won't take much of your time, but I thought it was a good meeting this morning.
All right. Well, you're on first.
No, we're going to wait. We'll wait for them.
I see. Small talk to do.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Rich, how long are the troops going to be here? Yeah. All right. Okay. Your cabinet members already made excellent presentations this morning. Ed.
What did you say about the cabinet?
Made excellent presentations. They did a hell of a job. Jim Watt, Dick Swiker, Drew. You had a busy day?
Oh, the worst I've ever
really?
Had, because I'm leaving tomorrow for speakers.
Yes. All right, we'll be in order. Mr. President, I'm happy to announce to you that your Federalism Task Force is officially launched. We launched it this morning downtown. I think that the meeting we had was constructive, very positive, and I think it's going to afford us the foundation to get the kind of job that you and I have talked about for lo these many years, and that's to get the unnecessary functions out of Washington and back into the real world. I might say that we developed consensus, I think, on many points, and I would hope that my colleagues agree with me. Number one, that there is a distinct need for decentralization, and that states and local government certainly would welcome the additional resources in exchange for the additional responsibility. I think everybody felt that those should follow in lockstep fashion. I think also that everyone agreed that we have the mechanism here, a political mechanism, if you will, for coordination, because we recognize as one of our principal threats in order to effectively decentralize by the fact that we just have literally hundreds of groups here in Washington who have as their private fiefdoms the continuation of the present process and the present structure. So among all of us representing, as we do, various groups, we think that we have the potential here for the kind of coordination that's terribly important. We're going to focus from this point on in the specific areas where we think we can achieve federalism in your concept and understanding. And I might say to you, Mr. President, on the basis of the discussion today, that none of us has any illusion that this is going to be an easy task, because we have problems here in connection with what should be moved out of Washington, in what manner, by what mechanism of funding. And it's been plain here in the frank and candid discussions that we'll have problems in connection with allocation responsibilities and resources within the respective states. The cities are jealous of their prerogatives, as they should be. The counties are justly nervous. And I think the governors are as nervous as anybody else. So it was pointed out this morning that one of the things we have to establish here among ourselves, which may be as important as anything else, is to change basically the attitude of all of us in the governmental families, so that rather than having a climate of confrontation, hostility, and suspicion, that perhaps through greater understanding, better communication, we can cooperate together in the interests of the people generally. So, Mr. President, as I said initially, I think we had a good constructive meeting. We're well along, and we'll continue to pursue this program and give you what I hope would be a meaningful report here before too long.
Well, Senator, I want to thank you and everyone who's here for coming today and for your willingness, all of you, to serve on this Federalism Advisory Committee. The effort is very important to me, and at the heart of almost everything we're trying to accomplish in the area of domestic affairs. Now, some of you here who've heard me before and we've met together before are going to think I'm really a Johnny One Note, and I'm sure you'll hear some of the same views and phrases from me. But America's been experiencing a prolonged period of economic hardship, becoming progressively worse. The country has enormous problems. The most dynamic system known to man as of late has seemed paralyzed and unable to deal with its problems. But that's not the fault of the American system. We've bent that system out of shape. You were talking about it being a long job and a hard job. The first time I ever heard any reference to it was in 1932, when a candidate for the presidency at that time spoke of the federal government, the extent to which the federal government had usurped the legitimate functions and autonomy that belonged to the state and the local level. Now, our task is to return to the first principles and let the system work. The economic program before the Congress will rejuvenate our staggering economy, but it is also the first step to restoring the proper balance between city, state, and federal governments. We've proposed changes in the federal budget that reflect the reordering of priorities. The national budget addresses only the national needs. The regulatory relief effort chaired by the Vice President will remove many of the regulatory manacles that bind the hands of state and local officials. We're committed to moving away from the complex categorical grant programs. We propose consolidating these programs in comprehensive block grants to be administered at the local level. State and local officials are as competent and caring and compassionate as those in Washington, D.C., if not more so. But that's not a widely held belief in Washington, D.C. You're closer to the people. You're more accountable to the voters and more aware of the particular needs in your areas. Actually, I consider block grants an interim step. Our goal is and should be to give the state and local governments almost total freedom in the areas covered by block grants, returning the revenue sources usurped by the federal government. A vital step in the effort to reduce the oppressive level of federal taxes that I've proposed to the Congress. I'm also pleased to announce to you today that under the leadership of Secretary Reagan and his Economic Affairs Cabinet Council, a Cabinet Council working group has been established to look at the revenue return issue. Among the members of that working group are Rich Williamson, Ed Gray, and others. I've asked Rich to ensure that their full and genuine consultation with the state and local officials will be maintained as we proceed on this issue. Our return to federalism is intended in our Constitution. It may be one of the greatest efforts of this administration. It is an effort to restore the very basics of our system, and the effort that will lay a foundation for rebirth of the vitality and growth of our people and that they so rightly demand. There are rights, Jefferson said, that are useless to surrender to government, but that governments always seem to invade. The centralization of authority we now have is not new, nor is it a phenomenon. It is a result of government unchecked and undisciplined. We'll return ours to the service of the people and hereafter measure it against the standard of free people who govern themselves. But may I say, this is going to be, of all of our economic package, I believe, one of the hardest things that we're going to get, and is going to take all of the support and help that you've offered so generously before, and the arousing of the help, to convince Washington that the people of this country want these functions returned. I have even heard used against it the argument that in some way Congress would be abdicating its responsibility to turn these functions back. It isn't a responsibility that the Constitution ever intended them to have, and it belongs back with you. The truth of the matter is, what we're talking about is not something at the congressional level. We're talking about a permanent structure of government, one that cannot be removed from office by the people's votes, and that is the permanent structure that is laying the network of regulations around the categorical grants and restricting your flexibility in managing those programs. And I'm determined that we're going to fight on this line if it takes all summer and then some. So be prepared, and again, our thanks for you being willing to serve in this on this commission.
We thank you, Mr. President. In the few remaining minutes, minutes, I think perhaps we might best spend the time in having a, as you often phrased it during the campaign, a dialogue rather than a monologue. So if any of the members of the commission would like to volunteer comments, ask any questions of the president, let's proceed from this point on in a rather informal fashion. If I don't have anybody initially, I would like, if I may, to have the so-called dean of this committee, Cliff White, characterize, if he would, essentially what the meeting this morning was about in terms of detail and approach. Cliff, I think the president should be hearing that from you directly, and perhaps you could even clear all of our thinking on it as well.
All I tried to do was say, would you say so much better? Some people that are involved in some of the social reforms or the programs that are supposed to be helpful to those people. One of them, a woman who is telling me that what she's doing is something that, and she's only one of several doing it, is something that one person could very easily do, and told the classic story about coming near the end of the year and being ordered to go out and buy new furniture and a new desk for herself because they had to spend the money that was left over so they could ask for more in the coming budget. But she was writing to tell me this and ended up with, I salute you, carry on with what you're trying to do. And we were so impressed with the letter, we can't blow the whistle on her because you know what had happened to her from being involved there. We're quietly behind the scenes seeing if we can't get her a job out in the private sector.
County Executive Bill Murphy.
Mr. President, as a supporter, a longtime supporter of the Black Grant concept, I applaud the initiatives that you're taking, the Congress and the initiatives of this committee. But I am concerned as a county official that if the Black Grant concept goes through as it is currently envisioned, that we at the local level may lose our input into the decision-making process. I am concerned that the governor of our state may see fit to spend the federal dollars in a block grant program far differently than those programs are being, monies are being spent now in the various categorical programs. The end result of that could be to leave me, the county official, with the demand for the service that was once provided by the federal dollars, and yet have the governor spending those funds in a far different fashion. I'm concerned about the lack of pass-through, and I'm concerned about the lack of input, and I respectfully request that if we could build some mechanism in there to reflect local input and interest, we could overcome even that obstacle.
Well, this is one of the reasons why this commission can be so important, because you represent all the different levels of government. It is true, any level of government can try to hang on to something more, just as the federal government has been the prime example of that. And what we have to do is work out and find out how we can legitimately and honestly turn over to whatever branch of government, city or town or county, or state, those programs that properly belong at that level of government. And then the block grants be apportioned basically. It wouldn't do any good to simply substitute another level of government for the same kind of restrictions that the categorical grants have today. It doesn't seem to me that that's impossible, and it seems to me that the representatives of the people back in the state, representing counties, representing cities, can probably approach their state government better than they can their federal government, and can have more of an impact on working this out. But it would be in a forum like this where some determination is made as to what functions properly belong, at what level.
Congressman Bud Brown.
Mr. President, I don't want to attack the Bill Murphy, but I heard his comment this morning, and I had already spoken too often and felt that I shouldn't jump on that point. But I think two things are forgotten in the concern that municipalities or counties have and mistrust they may have in their states. First, something exists at the state level and the local level which can cure those problems where the state is not governed with equity. And that's the traditional initiative referendum and recall propositions that don't exist at the federal level. This is why the federal government has gotten so far out of hand in terms of its ability to dominate the scene. And the other thing is that for years, many state legislatures have been criticized as having the cornstalk brigade that keeps the cities from getting their fair share as the cities grew. And the one-man, one-vote principle, which has come into the fore now and will be changed again with the reapportionment of state legislatures, the redistricting of the Congress as a result of the census this year, has changed that imbalance that previously existed. Both of those things are pretty good arguments for the states now being more representationally accurate than the federal government is.
This commission has already provided a vehicle, perhaps, for solving Commissioner Murphy's problem. Why don't you talk to Mayor Koch? If he won't let your governor keep any of that money, he'll make sure it goes directly to you and your senior.
You start a move for that. We have it in California.
Commissioner Orr, Mayor Koch, go ahead, sir.
The lady. Thank you very much.
I'd like to say, Mr. President, that we ought not to have, that's the final sort of axis, the initiative, the recall. There's got to be something in between. And what so that we're not at the mercy of a governor, good or bad.
November, and NACO, the National Association of Counties, have always supported you in, your block grant concept, and I think many good ideas came this morning, and there's many things that we could get hung up about, whether Dallas County needs, as an example, this particular federal program, or whether Phoenix needs this particular program, and whether New York does, and I know that you've said on two or three occasions I've heard you say that this is either phase number one or an interim program and so forth. I believe you used the word interim today, which I'm very grateful for. And I think the way that we'll eventually do it, until we figure out a way to get the states to return to the counties and the cities, the funding device, whatever that may be, and realizing that I realize what Representative Brown said, talking about an initial referendum. Texas is also one of those states that does not have that. So Consequently, I'm sure that if you took a survey, it'd probably be a lot of states. And eventually, because I think the revenue sharing is a fair formula, and I'm sure that Congressman Jack Brooks won't agree with me, but I think this would be the way that eventually we could get it, and that way Dallas County or Texas or Harris County or Sacramento County, California, could implement the programs that they needed for those people in that area. And a lot of people say, well, you may not do all these things that the people want you to do. Well, they have a way at the ballot box telling you what they want to do. And I think last November, people said at the ballot box, they're kind of tired of some of these giveaway programs. So maybe a lot of these programs are not necessary. I know that we have them in Dallas County. It's really not necessary, to be honest, but it's sort of like you said. We find people, whether it be the war on poverty or whatever, they find they got a $10,000 left, what do? They go down and buy a new Jeep. They do something to get rid of the money. So we have this, and I think revenue sharing put under the direction of the governing body, whatever that is, Commissioner's Court, Board of Supervisors, whatever, will be the eventual answer to it, I think. And we wouldn't necessarily have to worry what the state was going to do to us, because it would be redistributed in a on an equitable basis based on what the local entities were doing tax-wise and their unemployment and all the other factors that go into that formula.
Well, if I could, and I don't want to give the impression that I think this is all simple, because I know how difficult it is, but I know in our own state, and all states are managed differently, we have a sales tax collected entirely by the state. We have a gasoline tax collected by the state. The gasoline tax takes care of all of the state highways and the maintenance and the policing and all that. But in both of those instances, they're by a formula that is fixed by law. A portion of that gasoline tax goes to counties for county roads, for maintenance and so forth of those. And in the sales tax, it also, by formula, is divided up and is not just for the state, is returned to the other levels of government, local, so that you wouldn't have several duplicate taxes. And I know this sounds awfully simple and impossible, maybe, but it doesn't seem so to me. I dream of a day when it could be as easy as saying X percent of the federal income tax shall be retained in the states where it is collected for the states to use as they see fit. And then within the state could have work out whatever formula as to distributing those shares downward, or making tax sources in the state that the state now has available totally to local government by way of compensation. And that would be the ultimate dream, have both the responsibility for the functions and the responsibility or the tax source made available.
It wouldn't have any facts.
Jack Brooks.
Being responsible for the raising of the money and having no control over it. And this is why I've suggested, and yet even there, the federal government has been reluctant to follow that lead. When federal aid to education, and I know I've told this to many of the people here before, when it was first proposed, and educators came rushing to Washington, not for the money, but came rushing here because they were afraid that that money would mean federal control of education, which it has meant, interference in education. But they came with a proposal, try to find some proposal that would meet the financial problems of local education, but without running that risk of now another layer of control. And it was Norris Cotton, senator from New Hampshire, who proposed that the federal government turn over to the states the tobacco tax, earmarked only for education. But from then on, it was their tax to raise, lower, collect, do with what they would. But it was their tax. I think this is one of the things that we've been saying, that I think over the years the federal government, and not only has usurped functions, but has usurped revenue sources and left local and state government hard put to find tax sources that have the same growth ability that the federal government enjoys in such a thing as the income tax, so forth. If it was not to be, if the income tax looked like it was Congress raising the money and the giving a portion of it back, let the states, for the simplification and ease of the people, then let the states declare how much they wanted added on in their state that would remain there. Maybe that might even be a better way than a percentage, because then somebody could look at the back of his tax sheet and see how much his level of government was adding on to the income tax bill, and maybe find out why is the next state over only adding on half that much. Why are they so better, much better off than we are?
We in Texas don't want an income tax. We don't have one now. A lot of other states have it and enjoy it. But we enjoy it more, not having it. They don't enjoy having it.
I'm afraid that we've run out of time, but we'll take one last question. Tom Stivers, you asked earlier to be recognized.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, I think it's a little interesting to note that even during the morning session and so far this afternoon, no one has made the point, and you came awfully close to it, in stating that this country grew and prospered pretty well for around 150 years without all these federal programs that are supposed to cure all of our ills. And now after 50 years of trial, error, and method at them, we've still ended up with disastrous results. I think a point that Secretary Lewis made this morning on transportation, that in lieu of the federal government or the transportation department putting on another 2 or 3 cents federal gas tax to help assess the urban and rural roads in the states, let the states put that tax on the local tax and let them build the roads and get 100% of that money rather than just a share of it that they could get otherwise. So I think those points need to be remembered. The media and education is what we need right now. Secretary Bell's closing statement this morning struck me pretty heavily, because what we need is more education into the people about this concept of governance.
Absolutely.
That we're looking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. President, would you wrap it up, sir?
Yes. One incident that I just reminded, I can't remember all the details, but happened in our own state, Hollister, California. It's a farming town and a canning company and so forth. And the migrant labor comes in and picks the crops. And then the housewives usually go down and get the jobs at the cannery for a few weeks and get all their Christmas money from working there in the cannery. And then someone told them, well, you know, by rights, you're eligible now for unemployment insurance. So they got additional money by signing up for that. No one had pointed out to them that when the unemployment, based on taking that unemployment insurance, reached a certain level in the community, they couldn't import workers. So comes the next crop season, and the federal government had declared them a depressed area, so they couldn't bring people in to pick the crops. And they were begging to be declared undepressed. And the government said, lay down and be depressed. And they were depressed because no one picked the crops, and then there wasn't anything for the ladies to can. Well, again, I just thank you all. And they tell me I got about a half a day's work yet to do over there. And I thank you, and I wish you well. And for any cooperation and help we can give, rich is at your disposal.
Thank you.
We all are. We try our best.
Appreciate that.